This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. You know, the news cycle these days is such that for a story to dominate the general conversation for more than, about a nanosecond, it feels like, is a rare thing indeed. But the story in the New York Times this weekend about Amazon and its workplace culture has made quite the splash, I think it's fair to say. Tales of uncaring managers and workers being pitted against their colleagues in a cutthroat environment. Jody Kantor shared the byline on the story in the paper. Jody, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What made this company worth the investment that the Times made in this piece? Because you guys were doing this for 6 months or something, right?
We realized that so many of us know Amazon as consumers, but not that many of us knew about the fascinating workplace that Jeff Bezos has created inside the corporate Seattle offices, a workplace that they boast is peculiar, that is really different from other places, that consciously rejects a lot of the rules that often govern office life, and yet at the same time gives us a glimpse of what the future of the workplace may be like.
A lot in that answer, which we're going to break down sort of in due course here. First of all, it is fascinating. Yes, as you said, it is also, as you led listeners and readers to believe in this piece, it's miserable there. I mean, it's terrible.
Not for everybody, but they do pride themselves on being a tough culture. You know, Bezos tells people this is a culture of working incredibly hard. They use the phrase unreasonably high to describe their standards and expectations. And a former Amazon director of human resources said that the company basically works on purposeful Darwinism is the phrase that she used. And the idea there is that they're really trying to get everybody to work as hard and be productive as they absolutely can. It comes out of Jeff Bezos's fears of becoming slack as a large company.
And it's not new, this ethos. I mean, Bezos, as you point out in this article, has been talking about this almost since the beginning, doing things that are hard and working people hard to get there.
And by many measures, it is very successful. People say is that part of Amazon's success can be attributed to the fact that he's basically invented a way of getting the most out of every employee. And talking to employees is fascinating because nobody is making these people work there. These are not $12 an hour workers who don't have other options. These are fairly elite, decently well compensated workers. And what they talk about in interviews is how the Amazon system made them want to drive themselves.
To quote Don Draper from Mad Men, I think early in the series, that's what the money's for.
It is. It is. And it's also important to point out that there are a lot of things that employees say they really like about working at Amazon. It's a culture of innovation. There isn't a lot of red tape. Relatively junior people can have a lot of responsibility. I found that in most of our interviews, we were talking to people who really loved aspects of working with the company, but they were struggling with this kind of punishing culture.
Well, give me some specifics, because there are things in this article that you point out that Amazon does. For example, very strict new employee orientation. It's customs. It's rules. I mean, lots of companies have those. We have those here, and I'm sure the Times does, too.
Oh, of course. Let me talk about a couple of things that Amazon does that's really unique. Team members are ranked against each other. It's a very competitive atmosphere. It's not the only company to use this kind of system, but many companies have abandoned it. And at Amazon, it's particularly direct because, for example, you can send secret negative feedback about your peers to your peers' bosses. The bosses see who it's from, but other workers don't necessarily see it. Another very tough thing is that the evaluation system is fairly relentless, and we weren't looking for this in particular, but we found a real pattern of people who had life crises when they were at Amazon. They had cancer, their parents died, they had really bad pregnancy loss, and what they said is that the company did not give them time to recover, and they felt that the company was so relentless that they couldn't pause and get back on their feet.
Could Amazon be Amazon, do you think? And could we get whatever we want when we want it, maybe even almost before we know we want it, without this kind of culture at the company?
That is the question. And because you're asking a hypothetical and not something that can be reported, I certainly can't answer. But, you're asking the very thing that our sources were grappling with. These were people who were really devoted to a lot of what the company did. And also, what's the cost? What's the cost in turnover? What's the cost in human pain? Would I be, in a sense, even more motivated if this place made me feel better about working there?
Well, so let me ask you something that can be reported, and I will offer my own answer first. I am an Amazon Prime member. I pay my $99 and I order stuff and I want it the next day. Are you an Amazon Prime member?
Oh, I am. Absolutely. Right. Part of what was fascinating about reporting this article was hearing the back end of how that all happens. And especially in the retail division, you learn about the coordination, the pinpoint timing, the accountability that gets all that stuff to our doorstep so quickly. For example, one of the scariest things that can happen to you if you work in the retail division is that you can be brought to account for a quote-unquote cold prickly. Yeah. That's an Amazon term for when an email has to go out to a customer saying, "Dear little Timmy, I'm really sorry to tell you that your Christmas toy is not going to arrive because we had an inventory problem or we had a shipping problem or whatever, whatever." Amazon is so customer focused that that is like the worst thing that can happen at Amazon. And employees talk about that with an upside and a downside. The upside is that they really like that the company is so devoted to satisfying consumers. What they don't like is they say that there is a harshness with which employees are brought to account, that they feel that they are grilled and that it's not okay to just sometimes say, "I don't know," or "I have to look into that more."
That gets to the pushback that this piece has received, which has been extraordinary. I don't even know how many thousands of comments on the New York Times website. And Jeff Bezos has, as you reported today and others have, come out with a letter, not doing a point-by-point rebuttal, but basically saying, no, Amazon's not that kind of company. There was an internal guy who wrote his own thing on LinkedIn, which has been shared a gazillion times. What do you make of the high-level response that this has gotten about what Amazon is?
I'm not sure I would define it all as pushback. The comments have been very varied. The Bezos letter was fascinating because he led, first of all, with telling everyone to read our article. And he also said the kind of callous management practices that this story described are not to be tolerated at Amazon. And if anybody experiences them, please contact me or HR immediately. He did go on to say that it's not the Amazon he recognized. So yes, it is true that there was a really interesting article on LinkedIn defending the company. It was from a guy who's worked there 18 months. The Amazonians I've talked to have sort of mixed feelings about what he wrote because some of it seems right to them, some of it doesn't seem right to them. He was very dismissive, for example, of gender concerns. Right. He said the company does not cull people every year, which it most certainly does. And so I think what we're seeing is we're almost getting a little glimpse of the internal debate that plays out inside Amazon and has for a long time. For so many of the people we talked to in the article, they themselves were debating the Amazon way only within the context of their own lives. Is this right for me? The rewards of this company are so great. Do I want to play by these rules? And I think what's happened now is that the article has helped bring that debate into the open. So it's not only an Amazon worker sitting with, you know, her husband talking about those issues, but it's now more of a public conversation.
Jody Kantor, with her colleague David Streitfeld, has the big buzzy piece in the New York Times the past couple of days. It's called Inside Amazon. Jody, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me. Take care.